Good afternoon. The time is 2 o'clock. Welcome to Vox Pop for this Food Friday, June 7th. I'm Ray Graff. Say, what do you know about chiffon?
I know the chiffons, the girl group from the 60s. As to the other stuff, I'm not really clear about much. But if your chiffon competence is of a similar level to mine, fear not, because it's time for another one of our regular sessions with Chef Gail Sokol. Chef Gail is an educator, author, podcaster, and a popular YouTuber. Turns out that she has a black belt in chiffon. Give us a call. The number is 800-348-2551, 1-800-348-2551, or email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Chiffon. Right. We'll find out. Chef Gail Sokol and your calls coming up. Hello again. Welcome back to Vox Pop, WAMC's live afternoon call-in talk show. I'm Ray Graff. Today on Food Friday, we welcome back our pal, Chef Gail Sokol. Chef is a chef, and Gail is a chef as well, an educator. I write the scripts, and I cannot read them. This is a problem in radio. Gail is a chef, educator, and author. She was a faculty member for years at Schenectady County Community College and the Sage Colleges in Troy. She's the author of a widely used textbook entitled About Professional Baking, also a cookbook, Baking with Success. She has a lovely podcast. It's Baking Radio, and she's the star of a huge list of baking how-to videos on YouTube. Today, we'll learn about chiffon on the program. The number to call is 800-348-2551, 800-348-2551. Gail was also the star of our award-winning AI recipe help desk program on Food Friday. What awards? I don't know, but hopefully someday. You were great on that program. It's great to have you back here today. What's happening, Chef Gail?
Oh, I'm so glad to be off the hook. That was a tough show.
That was awesome.
That was awesome.
Jim Hendler from RPI.
Yeah, it was crazy.
It was
crazy
weird.
Crazy stuff with AI. I hope it's not listening. AI, they say don't talk bad about it because it'll come back to bite you.
Our overlords, our robot overlords.
Exactly.
So what's happening on the video front? What have you done lately?
Oh, my gosh. I just did a pink peppercorn Bosque cheesecake, and I was looking around at different peppercorns and, black pepper.
I don't know what pink peppercorn is, but it's peppercorn and cheesecake seems counterintuitive.
It does, doesn't it?
Yes.
But that's why it's so cool. So if you put it together and you grind it in, you grind like just a teaspoon or so in a coffee grinder. You got to get them very tiny. You don't want to get a chunk of pepper. It's not like you're eating, a salad or a pizza or something with cracked pepper on it. You want this to really be a smooth cheesecake, but you grind a little bit of these pink peppercorns. It's very florally, almost lemony tasting.
Huh.
It's milder than a black pepper, and it's awesome. And a Bosque cheesecake, I saw one, and I laughed, and I said, I'll never be making one of those.
So how'd you end up doing it? Why, I guess?
I don't know. I was looking around, and I said, you know what? What is it with this? It's like a trend. It's a real trend in Spain and France, and they're all making them. And I said, what is the deal about these Bosque?
Yeah.
They have no crust.
Okay.
So they're great for people that are GF, gluten-free.
Gluten-free.
They don't have any flour in them as a thickening agent. And the one recipe I developed had some flour, and I changed it out for cornstarch, which is also gluten-free.
Okay.
Have lots of cream cheese, super creamy, heavy cream.
Yeah.
Not for the faint of heart. So if you are an aficionado on cream cheese, on cheesecake, you will want to try this. The one thing you cannot be scared about, this is not for the timid or the shy, it gets black. Now, my cheesecake bakes, listen to this, 450 degrees Fahrenheit. That's a hot oven for 35 to 40 minutes.
Okay, hang on. Now, believe it or not, I have never made a cheesecake.
That's hard to believe, Ray.
Right? But, you put cheese into something that's 450 degrees, the cheese melts, right?
Not cream cheese. Cream cheese is not going to be melting, especially if you add it to eggs, which are going to be the thickening agent.
Yeah.
cornstarch, you have heavy cream, you have sugar. And once you get it all into thick, sort of glossy, smooth mass, you pour it into this pan and you line the pan with parchment paper.
Okay.
And you and it's a springform pan. It's a cheesecake pan.
Right.
False bottom. And you and it's a big one. It's 10 inches. You can make them as small or as big as you want. I liked it big.
Okay.
And then you bake it at 450 degrees. So you have to take that top rack out of your oven, make sure you have enough room to put this thing in.
Yeah.
And doesn't bake for, some bake for about an hour at a lower temperature. But I wanted to see, I wanted to sort of see what this hot temperature. I'm sick of making cheesecakes in the hot water bath for 325 for an hour. Let's see what this could do. So I did it and I took it out. And during the video, I'm like, oh, OMG, this is amazing.
Really?
It turns black on top, but it's almost a caramelized flavor. It is awesome.
Was that your first try?
Yeah.
It came out perfectly on
perfect.
Video.
Perfect. Perfect.
And so if people want to see this, how do they do that?
They go to, they can go to my website or they can go to my YouTube channel, Chef Gail Sokol, where I have 11,000 subscribers and climbing. And
11,000?
Over four, oh yeah, way
can you
over.
Can monetize that?
Oh, you betcha.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, all right.
Yeah.
Can I borrow a couple of bucks?
Not that much.
All right, fine.
I'll give you a few.
Okay. Oh, you know, we have a fund drive coming up.
So. I know. I do give to your fund drive.
Oh, I'm sure you do.
But
I wasn't asking you for that. No, I was asking you for myself. The number here is 800-348-2551 if you have a question for Chef Gail Sokol. I still don't understand how the pink pepper corns, which I've never seen before and I believe are mythical, how they would fit in this recipe.
You know what? I have seen a lot of pepper in various desserts just through the years, and it's now coming into, you know, people are playing around with stuff.
Yeah.
And I thought, let's give it a shot. I don't want anything that's overpowering, but it's mild.
Yeah.
It's super subtle. And it's just, and I just like saying pink peppercorn.
Pink peppercorn.
Don't you like saying that?
Marginally. Sure. Yeah. Yes, I do.
It's got a rhythm to it, an alliteration. It's great.
Gail Sokol's our guest today. We're talking, actually, we were not talking about cheesecakes today, although you had me at cheesecake, and I will be checking that video out. I did put a video on our webpage for today's show about what we are talking about today, and that is chiffon.
Yes.
Explain to me what chiffon is.
Okay. So way back in the day, I guess in Hollywood, the chiffon cake was like the thing the celebrities would always eat, a chiffon cake.
Mm.
Very like, you know, in. But a chiffon cake is a sponge cake, just a sponge cake. But it's a separated egg foam cake. So there are two different types of sponge cakes. There's a whole egg sponge where you don't separate the egg from the white and yolk. And you make the whole egg, you crack the whole egg, and you beat it. And that is known as a French sponge cake or a Genoise.
Okay.
Okay?
And this is not that.
This is not that. This is separated. So I separated my egg whites from my yolks.
And what does that do? You put them both in, right?
Yeah, but it's what you do with the whites that makes the difference. So this is cool. So now that's not special. That's not the special part,
Ray.
Right, stand down.
You got to remember, I don't even know what you're talking about
most of the time.
I need a little background.
So a separated egg foam just means you take your eggs and you separate them.
Yeah.
You know, yolk and white. You want your whites to be at room temperature because there's a natural, there's a surface tension in egg whites. If you've ever cracked an egg when it's ice cold, it takes a while for it to come out of the shell. It's just like sort of glued in there.
Yeah.
As it gets to room temperature, it'll just sort of fall right out. As it's room temperature, the egg white can accept more air into it because you're going to beat the heck out of it with a little bit of sugar and create a meringue, a foam, if you will.
Yeah.
That's why it's known as a separated egg foam cake.
Gotcha.
So instead of you separate your yolks from your whites, and you first make the batter. So the basic batter has your yolks. It has some liquid in it, like I put orange juice in mine. On your site, I made a citrus chiffon. Today,
yeah.
I left the citrus and zest out of the fruit that I put in, and I just put in orange juice and vanilla extract. You can do anything you want with
it. So you can use any liquid you want?
Well, within reason. You don't want to do milk. You don't want it to weigh it down, but water-based.
Huh.
So you can use lime juice, orange juice, lemon juice. I used orange juice.
Okay.
Fresh orange juice. And the secret, there are secret powers of this chiffon cake. You think I'm kidding?
No.
I'm not kidding.
No, it's fine.
So if you suck at making a sponge cake.
Okay, guilty.
You may, I don't know. But I am no judge. You should start with a chiffon cake because it has two secret ingredients, special powers. It has baking powder. So if you mess up on your meringue and you don't beat it as high as you should to stiff peaks. Okay, we've talked about stiff peaks
we
before,
certainly
remember?
Have.
And I don't mean like Twin Peaks of the TV
right.
show. I'm talking about like you take that beater, hold it upright, and those meringue egg whites should be standing straight up
like
and tall.
Like Mount Everest.
You got it, baby.
Right.
Mount Everest. And then you're going to fold that into the rest of the batter, which contains the yolks. Now, you make your egg yolk batter first with your juices. And the second special power, besides baking powder, is oil. So I use a vegetable oil, like a half a cup.
Okay.
That creates the moistness. This cake is so moist. A lot of sponge cake. I'm not a sponge cake lover, Ray. I'm not a sponge cake lover.
I like
lover.
This better than sponge cake, having had it. I got to be honest
Well,
with
it is a sponge cake. It's a subcategory
of
sponge cakes. But it is. And what makes it so nice and moist is that extra layer of that oil. The baking powder gives it that extra oomph that if some people might not beat their egg whites long enough and you want to get a nice fluffy batter, because remember, most sponge cakes have no other leavening agent other than the eggs. The air in the egg or the egg white will actually expand in the oven and make it rise.
All right, let's hold that thought and we'll come back and we'll get more information on chiffon cake from Chef Gail Sokol. We'll take a break right now. 800-348-2551 is the number. Email is voxpop@wamc.org. It's a Food Friday already. We'll be back. Thanks to everybody who pitched in this week on our little mini fun drives. Our actual fun drive begins on Monday morning at 6 a.m. We're over a quarter way there. Thanks to everybody who helped out this week. You can continue to do that at our website all weekend long. Everything counts right at the beginning. WAMC.org is the website. You find premiums and everything else there. It's Food Friday. Chef Gail Sokol is with us, and today we're talking about chiffon. And where we last left it, you had the egg whites, which you have to beat the daylights out of, and you have the eggs, and you put them together. Now, here's my question. If you're going to beat the eggs, mm-hmm. and you're going to beat the egg whites, mm-hmm. why do you have to do it separately?
Okay, this is the deal. All right, so if you have any fat in with egg whites, they won't beat up to their fullest potential.
Uh-huh.
Any fat in the bowl, any grease, any soap, any water, you want to make sure the bowl, the electric mixing bowl, or you can even do it by hand with a whisk, is clean and super scrupulously clean and dry.
Okay.
Very, very important, or else you can beat till the cows come home and it ain't going to form mountain peaks, okay?
Okay.
So you make your basic batter first with the yolks, all right? You do put some flour in. This has cake flour in it. It's lighter. It's got less protein and more starch,
mm-hmm.
so it's a lighter cake. And then again, it's got that super, super power ingredient, some baking powder. And then you get a batter, and it's yellow from the yolks. And then you put it in a big bowl, and you leave it there while you wash out your bowl and dry it thoroughly.
Mm-hmm.
And then you take your room temperature whites and beat the heck out of them.
Why don't you just get another bowl?
Well, some people don't have two electric mixing bowls.
Oh, you have to have an electric mixing bowl.
Yes.
I see.
A giant bowl with another clean whisk.
I won't play devil's advocate
anymore.
I
have two bowls, but some people might not.
Okay.
So you beat it again. You put in a little bit of cream of tartar. Cream of tartar is basically not going to create more higher egg whites. It will stabilize them. so make them a little stronger. You just put in like half a teaspoon.
Okay, you have written a textbook.
Yes.
Why do they, it's powder. Why do they call it cream of tartar? And what chemically does it do to make that happen?
It gets in between the whites, the proteins of the whites, and it just creates a stronger structure.
Yeah.
But it does not create more volume. A lot of people think it makes it higher, but it doesn't. It just gets it going. You don't put them in. First of all, the whites are in the bowl. You put your whip on. You never use the paddle. You use the whip attachment.
That's one of my mottos, by the way, actually.
Whip away.
Sure.
Put it on high speed, and then when it's foamy... Only foamy. That's when you put your cream of tartar in. And then as it gets to almost soft peaks,
yeah,
not super high, you start adding a little bit of sugar, about a quarter of a cup here. And you just gradually add the sugar because the sugar, the granules of sugar, are going to go in between the proteins and sort of stabilize that meringue, but make them soft enough that they never get like soap suds. Because if you beat egg whites without sugar... And keep beating them and beating them, it's going to look like you put soap in your electric mixer and just kept going. Do you ever do that when the washing machine and the soap suds are like pooling out of the washing machine? Dry, and you cannot fold that egg white in with the rest of the batter.
Sure.
Now, the key to getting the most volume out of your chiffon, all right? Watch me, Ray.
I'm watching.
So you take the main batter, the heavy batter. Heavy goes first in the bowl.
Yeah.
Then you take about a third of the egg whites, once they're really, really beaten high and beautiful,
yep,
put them on top and whisk them in. So you're basically losing some of the air you just beat in. But this is like Mr. Spock. Are you a Star Trek fan? You know what he used to say, right, to Jim Kirk?
Nanu, nanu.
No, wrong show.
No, I don't know. What
he used to say that the needs of the many outweigh...
Oh, yeah.
The needs of the one. So these one quarter amount or one third amount of these egg whites are sacrificing themselves. So they can lighten.
It's a little dramatic, Gail.
Oh, no, not to a baker.
All right.
And you're basically lightening up that heavy batter so it can accept more of the light egg whites.
Interesting.
And you will create one of the lightest chiffons or sponge cakes ever. And you fold the rest of the egg whites in with a rubber spatula. No more whisk.
Why does it have to be a rubber spatula?
A rubber spatula is very, very gentle and creates, you know how you hold the bowl with one hand and then you rotate it as you're going underneath the bowl with the rubber spatula and flip it on top. Sure you
do. Sure I do.
No, you
yes,
don't.
No, of course I do.
And you get all those egg whites in until you barely see any streaks of white. And then you gently, gently pour this beautiful, voluptuous mass into your tube pan, false bottom tube pan.
Now, what do you mean false bottom?
So just like a springform pan has a bottom that falls out, you know, it comes out.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they make tube pans like that as well, and they're very easy to get a sponge cake out of. So most sponge cakes are baked in a tube pan, like an angel food cake has a hole in the middle.
Yeah.
You know what a tube is, right? Okay.
Do I look that dense?
I'm not assuming anything.
I'm not as dense as some of the sponge cakes
we've had. I'm not saying you are.
All right, fine.
So you don't even have to grease this thing. You just leave it. You want it dry and clean because you want the sponge cake, the eggs, as they rise up with the air in them and that baking powder, it's going to climb up the sides. If you greased it, it would slide right down.
And it would be okay.
And it would be flat. And then you take it out of the oven and you flip it over so it cools upside down.
So you flip this over.
Yeah.
This is amazing. And it's tall. It's got to be 6 inches tall.
It's very tall, and it's not holy. It's very fine crumb.
Yeah.
Because you did that whipping, and you got all that air in there. And that was the secret ingredients really helped to make this one of the lightest, most moist sponge cakes ever.
And, you know, I got to say, and I told you before that, sponge cake can leave me... you know, sort of dry. But what you have made today is light and delicious. And then you said they're both actually sponge cakes.
Yeah.
But I like yours better.
Yeah, yeah.
Chef Gail Sokol is our guest today. We talk chiffon. We talk about, well, there are a lot of baking questions out there. And certainly there are some questions about your Basque cheesecake, which we'll get to in a minute. But Jim in Adams has been waiting for a while. Jim in Adams, hello.
Hey, Ray.
How are you?
Hey, Gail. Good, Ray. Thank you for asking. Yes, I was asking about, I don't know if Gail was the person who was on from previous shows or someone else on a baking theme show, talked about the shaker, American Shaker, Meyer's lemon pie recipe.
I think, you know what? I think that was not, that was, I can't remember who was, I remember the show.
Someone else, anyway. Yeah. I purchased some Meyer's lemons a little while back.
Yeah.
They're very seasonal. They aren't available that long during the citrus fruit seasons. I've got seven of them left. They've turned out a very nice light orange color, the peels now. They really mature, I guess.
Yeah.
I hope the flavor is still pretty definite and strong in them. But I was wondering on making them into a Meyer's lemon pie for my wife. I've got two gluten-free graham cracker-style crust, pie crust I purchased already.
Okay.
I won't have to bake those. Our oven doesn't hold its heat. It keeps on going off. The thermocouple in it is now working properly. So I would have to just maybe, if I have to bake those crusts, put them in a little toaster oven we have.
Okay.
I could bake them in there. And then I have a Vitamix mixer here at the house, and I'm going to whip the whole lemons up. They tell you to use the whole lemon, minus the seeds, I guess. The shakers never wasted anything. They used the whole lemons. They sliced them paper thin, and then they would mash them up pretty good, I guess, most of them, somehow, by hand.
Mm-hmm. All right, so you're using the peel,
the
peel too.
The heck out of them.
Okay.
And
then you're going to...
I've got seven lemons. Yeah. How many eggs would I need to make that?
I'm not... I'm not sure, because you're going to have to look up how much juice these particular Meyer lemons are going to create, because when you squeeze a lemon, it varies.
Yeah.
A regular size lemon can get anywhere from, you know, a tablespoon of juice to two tablespoons, depending. And you're telling me they're pretty ripe. So
yeah, they were very ripe. They were a really nice deep yellow color when I purchased them, but I've had them around a little while.
Okay.
And
so
keeping
squeeze
them in
cool
storage.
All right,
and,
so squeeze those lemons.
They're a cross between a lemon and an orange, and now they've got more of the color of an orange.
Gotcha.
Okay. And then you're going to need some...
the entire lemons minus the seeds.
Okay, so you're going to need some yolks. You can do... You can go onto my YouTube channel for curd. I make lemon curd. You can substitute Meyer lemons for that as well. And that is... You can use either... you know, it uses some sugar. It uses some yolks. It can also use the whole egg, depending on... there's two different types of curd you can make.
Yeah.
Choose one, and then you can just add an additional lemon juice or so if you are short on lemon juice.
And by the way, Jim, Ellen Gray was the guest who made Meyer lemon pie.
Got it, okay.
And you can probably find that on our website.
Would you suggest that I separate my eggs and whip the whites up?
No.
Make it...
That's more of a mousse pie. If you want it like a curd pie,
I could do that.
Like a almost like a custard pie, I would not do that. You would only use probably the yolks or the whole egg without beating the white separate. But there's all different types of pies. Go out there and take a look. Have a look at my YouTube channel. Have a look at, you know, on the internet and see what interests you.
Okay. Jim, thanks a lot for the call. Appreciate it very much. Our guest today is Chef Gail Sokol, and we talk about baking on this program. Are you a real pie fan? Do you make a lot of pies?
Yeah, I love making freeform tarts. You've had my walnut freeform tart.
Indeed.
It's got the flakiest pie crust ever. I love doing peaches, blueberries, cherries. You can do a frangipane base, you know, with like almond paste, and then do... fruit on top,
and you've
fresh
done
cherries.
That on this show.
Yes, great stuff.
And you talked about it before the show started. You talked, I think, about doing strawberry rhubarb on the chiffon cake.
Yes, I made
which is genius.
A strawberry rhubarb compote the week before I put out the Basque cheesecake. So
the cheesecake, that's what it was.
So you can serve it with anything. You can serve it with the chiffon. You can serve it on ice cream or as a yogurt parfait. I just decided it might be a really fun thing to use with the Boss cheesecake.
Check this picture out. Sandra writes, and I just made one of those Boss cheesecakes. It was very rich, and here's a picture of it.
Yes! Oh,
it's
my God,
it brown top.
Just like mine.
Yeah.
And when it comes out, you think, uh-oh, I screwed up. And it's very liquidy and jiggly. Don't bake it. It's gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's perfection.
Sandra, nicely
beautiful,
done.
Beautiful. Nicely done, Sandra. And then you chill it, and out comes this creamy, most creamy cheesecake you've ever had in your life.
Bob writes in, Stouffer's ginger snaps contain cayenne pepper. It makes all the difference between them and any other ginger snap.
Huh. I didn't know that. I did not know that, but I wouldn't be surprised.
Do you make the ginger snaps at all?
I've made ginger cookies, and you can put in pepper. Pepper is really good. It actually gives a little like pow to it, and some people can't tell where it's from. It just has a little spice. You can also use things like clove or allspice to give it a little kick.
I'm fascinated by this pink peppercorn now. Because I've never seen them in
go
a store.
Go out and get some.
Where do you get them?
You can get them at any store.
Really?
Most stores, you can either get them unit-based if you go to, you know, some other stores that are, I don't want to mention names,
yeah.
But they're out there with all the other peppercorns or in the spice rack, spice aisle, and you can grind them, you can put them, make a marinade with them, use them on fish, chicken, whatever.
You're
but
kidding me.
I wanted to give it a baking edge.
Our guest today is Chef Gail Sokol. We talk baking every so often with Chef Gail. The number here is 800-348-2551. If you have a question about chiffon, or if you have a question about Bosque cheesecake, or anything else that you can put in the oven and bake up nice, you can also email us at voxpop@wamc.org. So, the cake rose. Where were we on the procedure here?
Well, we put our main batter with our yolks in a big bowl.
Right.
So we have room to fold in our whites.
Correct.
We sacrificed about a third of those whites.
Because the needs of the many
outweigh the needs of the one.
Okay.
And we just whisked those in, and we lost that air, basically. But we wanted, our job was to lighten that batter.
Yep.
And then we folded in with a rubber spatula the remaining meringue. Keep it light. Keep it really fluffy, and then pour it into our pan.
Yep.
Bake it, and this baked between 50 minutes and an hour. Mine took a little longer because my egg whites were not as room temperature as I would have liked.
Now, did you know that beforehand?
I did.
Okay.
I did, because I was having a very busy day, Ray.
Right. Oh, I believe you.
No, yesterday was just super busy, so I didn't have time to leave them out, and I didn't want to leave them out for an hour if I was going to be out of the house. So you can throw them in the microwave for 2 seconds, put them in a bowl of warm water. But I separated them. You can do it a day ahead. You can even freeze whites, believe it or not, freeze them, keep them in a container, date them, label them, and put them in an airtight container that's clean in your freezer. They're awesome. You can make meringues. You can make meringue mushrooms, which I think I've made for you. You can do so many different things.
Wait a minute. You made meringue mushrooms for me?
Well, if I haven't, I'll make them for you. They're so good.
What's a meringue mushroom?
A meringue mushroom is a different type of meringue. This is a meringue that's within a cake.
Oh.
But
okay.
The meringues that bake, that get nice and crispy, right?
Have
and
done
I've made
that.
A pavlova for you. Remember
yes.
Pavlova?
Yes. You have made, I thought you put mushrooms in the meringue. I understand. They just look
not,
like mushrooms.
You must be smoking some sort of
shrooms.
Hey,
you know
I don't
what?
Know.
Okay, Gail, that's just enough out of you.
Sorry.
It's a fun drive week coming up, and I'm gearing up and saving my strength. The number here is 800-348-2551 if you have a question about baking. What else can you do with chiffon?
You could split it crosswise, and you could put a mousse in it. You could make an ice cream cake out of it. You could make a trifle out of it. Oh my gosh, Ray, you really get
I
you know what
trifles.
A trifle is.
I love trifles.
So you get some custard, or you just get pudding from the store and make vanilla pudding.
Yep.
Take notes, and then you get fresh fruit or preserves.
I love that.
And get a beautiful big bowl, glass bowl. It's got to be see through, and then layer. You could do chocolate custard. You could do vanilla, lemon, and just layer and cut this into cubes or slices, and keep building layers, alternating custard, cake, fruit. And put a little schnapps in there if you wanted to, you know?
That is one
perfect.
Of my favorite desserts. I have not had it in years.
But it's not just, a lot of people serve it for the holidays, but it would be a great thing after a barbecue. You just bring this thing out nice and cool, easy peasy,
yeah.
You know?
Well, Chef Gail Sokol is our guest. Let's take a quick break here. Baking, any baking question under the sun? We got an expert here. 800-348-2551 is our number. 800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Now a little Wynton Marsalis. Vox Pop on WAMC. Ray Graff with you. We're joined by our pal, Chef Gail Sokol, today. We talk about chiffon and other baking topics. You know what I've been craving lately is a lavender strawberry slab pie.
Yeah.
Have you ever made one of those?
I have.
You're kidding me.
No. And it's really big, so it feeds a crowd. I did that maybe 3 or 4 videos ago.
You have a video.
I have a video on that.
So what is it?
It is basically you make a really large pie crust,
yeah,
and you divide it in half, roll it out, and I fit it into like a 15 by 10 inch sheet pan. So you're going to a picnic, you're having a barbecue, you get a big thing of ice cream, and you got this pie, and then I put in some fresh strawberries and some preserves, and you just spread it out. You could do any fruit you wanted. And then you put the crust on top. You could make it a lattice. You could make stars for 4th of July.
Oh, nice.
Cut it out with... And then I put like confectioner sugar, made like a simple glaze. But what I did was I took lavender buds. So you want to make sure if you're going to cook or do anything with flowers, you want to make sure that they're organic, that they don't have any pesticides. You don't want to kill your guests.
Some guests, but
They won't come back,
Fair enough.
So you take the lavender with a little water or sugar syrup, and you boil it and just get the extraction out of it. Let it steep for a while. It only takes like 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah. So
let it steep, and then put it through a sieve, and then use that water as your liquid in your glaze. So a little confectioner sugar instead of a little milk or water, you add a little lavender water or sugar syrup, and you got an incredible lavender-flavored glaze.
So they call that a slab pie. Now, full disclosure, I've never heard of such a thing, but you just did a video.
It's a very large pie, and I didn't discover it. It's out there. In the South, they make them. They're all over the place.
Well,
big. Matter of fact, I'm about to make it. I wouldn't call it a slab pie, but I'm going to make a really large, like a celebration or party-size cookie, like a layered cookie.
Oh, neato. Yeah.
And I'm about to do that this weekend, and that's going to be like 14 by 20.
So that's a cake. You might as well do a chiffon.
You're going to cut that into squares.
Okay.
And this pie you cut into squares instead of wedges.
Sounds like a buckle.
It's not as deep.
No.
Not as deep. No. And it feeds many more people. It's almost like a giant Pop-Tart. Okay?
Like a frosted Pop-Tart.
And then you put a little vanilla ice cream on there, you got dessert.
You know what? Now you know. You have to go to the lowest common denominator, and then I understand what you're
saying. Pop-Tarts you get.
Yeah, cornflakes, Pop-Tarts, frosted flakes. Let's go to Wendy in Amsterdam. You're on.
Hi.
Hi.
How are you guys?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. So I made something really delicious I wanted to tell you about.
Ooh, okay.
So I have some kind of older apples. And so I wanted to cook them quickly, so I grated them with a medium grater.
Okay.
And then I added a fresh grated ginger and some sugar. And it made this kind of textural, gingery, sort of apple-y concoction. Then I had some gluten-free pastry dough, so I made like triangles.
Oh,
and
okay.
I put some mascarpone cheese in there with some of this ginger apple concoction, baked them, not for long, and then I glazed them with a little, confectioner sugar glaze, and it was delicious.
That sounds amazing, Wendy. Almost like a turnover, right? Like a mascarpone turnover.
Yeah, and they were little. And the nice thing about the apple and ginger stuff is it has a little bit of a bite to it because of the ginger.
Yeah.
And then it also has texture, so it's not mushy.
Right. Oh, that sounds yummy.
Yeah, did you come up with that yourself?
That sounds yummy. You better write it down.
I'm like, what am I going to do?
Write it down so you don't forget. Yeah, and then you can do like different iterations of it. If you didn't feel like grating the apples, you could just cube them and use different types of apples to get a different texture in there, like a, you know, like a firmer apple, like a Granny Smith versus something like a Macintosh. You know, decide what you want to do. That would be amazing also for the fall. Yeah, super. Or a great holiday dessert.
Yeah, a lot of my friends didn't know it was gluten-free or anything. Of course, I didn't tell them because they didn't need to know.
I bet it tastes just as good.
It's all about the taste.
Sounds yummy, Wendy.
Wendy, thanks for the call.
That's right.
Have a good
weekend. Thank you so much.
800-348-2551 if you have a question or an idea for Chef Gail Sokol. 800-348-2551. You can email us at voxpop@wamc.org. Okay, I mentioned Buckles.
Yes.
Did you and I talk about this years ago?
Yeah, no, I did a fruit dessert show for you. Remember, there was like a gazillion fruit desserts?
Yeah.
And there was the Pan Dowdy, and there was the cobbler.
Oh, yeah,
and
okay. So let's talk about the difference, because I can't remember now. What's the difference between a crisp, a buckle, and then a Kurt Gowdy, or whatever you said it was?
Sometimes there's not a lot of difference. It's the size of the pastry. It's cobbler looks like a cobblestone street.
Yeah.
So you can put biscuits down and cut biscuits or just blobs of biscuit dough. It just depends. You know, apple brown Betty is sort of like crumbs. They're like little breadcrumbs that it's a very old fashioned dessert.
But isn't that the same as a buckle?
You know what? It's like potato potato. You know?
So let's call the whole thing off?
Exactly.
Okay.
So, it depends on what people are calling them. So, crisp, and then, you know, some have oats, some don't have oats. There's a lot of, you know, some people are against oats, and some people like oats.
Why are some people against oats?
I don't know. They don't like the texture. It's a texture
I love
thing.
Oats.
Well, if you don't like the oats, and you're ever baking with oats, like in a cookie, or in a cobbler, or something like that, or a crisp, just put them through the food processor and give it a full, like a little pulse.
Yeah.
You'll never taste them.
That's interesting. You know, while I have you here, and I want to talk about some of your ideas for summer, this chiffon cake, certainly a brilliant idea and light, and you could do a lot with it. Your whipped cream is crazy
always. Yes,
I have just a baking question for my household. If you, let's just say that you used a dry chocolate chip mix, a cookie mix.
Okay.
You have it ready to go.
Yeah.
You have Ghirardelli or something. But you want to do peanut butter. What's the ratio? If you want to put peanut butter into a mix that doesn't call for it, how do you substitute that in?
Okay. So I have to be honest with you. I have never used a mix. So
you have never, entire life?
Well, like it has to be 40 years ago.
No, I feel terrible.
Anyway, no, you don't.
I feel awful.
Enough. Now, listen. So,
I can't go
if
on.
Is there butter that is added to this? Okay.
Yeah.
Instead of butter, add peanut butter.
Is it
done?
But what's the ratio though?
If it's like one stick of butter or two sticks of butter, add one stick of butter and 8 tablespoons of peanut butter. That is half a cup or one stick.
Interesting.
Of butter.
So it's just a 1-to-1.
1-to-1. Sometimes I will sub out all my butter and put in all peanut butter if I want to make my chocolate chip cookie, or leave the chocolate chips out and you got a great peanut butter, and put in some peanuts if people don't like peanuts or they're allergic, leave them out. But it wouldn't matter if it's peanut butter. Or you could use almond butter. You could use whatever you want, cashew butter. You can change things out. Be creative, Ray.
Yeah. Well,
you can do whatever you want.
I like that idea a lot. Chef Gail Sokol, what are you baking this summer? What is on your menu this summer?
Okay, so I am going to, for Father's Day, I'm going to be making a peach blueberry tart.
Oh, is that the doctor's favorite?
Yeah, it's my husband's favorite and my father's favorite. My father's about to be 96.
Oh, congrats.
In about a week. Yep.
That's great.
On Flag Day, so we're going to have him for Father's Day. The other thing I'm going to be making, and it's very interesting. I've never done it before, but I'm very interested to experiment. You know, it's wedding season.
Yeah.
It's celebration time. It's baby reveal. It's whatever, graduation. What about reducing some champagne, pink champagne, regular champagne, or sparkling wine, and reduce it. Take a cup of it, reduce it. Well, wait a minute, don't say anything. Reduce it so that the flavors condense and really concentrate, and then add it to a buttercream, add it to a custard. get a little flavor out of there. And then you have this beautiful champagne buttercream, beautiful champagne custard.
Interesting.
And it's just light and delightful.
How do you reduce something?
You put it in a saucepan, okay?
Yeah.
So you take, let's say, just make it easy, 1 cup. Of you could do, you don't want expensive champagne. If you like it on the sweeter side, make sure you get a small bottle of something sweeter. If you like something a little drier, you get Brut or whatever you want. Put it on the stove, and you don't want to boil the heck out of it because it will reduce. It's mostly water.
So you don't boil.
You will boil, but very like simmer. So just tiny bubbles.
Yeah.
Not like volcanic bubbles. And you just let it reduce. So that it's about half of what it was originally. So about a half a cup, from 1 cup to a cup.
So you're just getting rid of the water.
A little bit of water. And yeah. What does that do? It concentrates flavor. That's how you get lots of flavor. You can do this
with 7-Up.
Or root beer, anything you want. All right, if you want to go that route. You can also make a great marinade with blackberries, blueberries, and put it on your poultry, on your fish, on your shrimp. You can do that and reduce your... Are you laughing?
No, I like where you're going with this.
You know, there's a lot... You can cross over from dessert to the main course or an appetizer. Just use your imagination.
Do you ever do... Are you proficient in main courses or do you
Yes, I do both. I do all things.
This email from our friend, Amy Halloran. Do you know Amy personally?
I don't know. Name sounds familiar.
She's
a genius about grains
and flowers.
Oh, okay. Maybe I've spoken to her before.
She writes, "Hey, Gail and Ray, I want to give a public service announcement for service berries, a very common street tree in the Capital District. These berries look like little blueberries on stems, and they are edible and delicious. They are ripening right now, make one of the best pies I've ever had."
A service berry?
That's a berry that the check engine light comes on. No, I don't know.
I have never heard of that. But if wherever you pick them, you better make sure that they are service berries.
I assume Amy knows, but that's very good point. Just don't go pick.
Well, a lot of people will go out, they'll say, "Let's take a hike," and then they don't come back. You know, they're eating berries, and that's not good.
All right. That's a good point.
No good.
So you've never heard of service berries?
Never heard. S-E-R-V-I-C-E.
That's the way it was spelled.
Never heard of that.
Have you ever heard of pawpaw?
I have. In what context is pawpaw?
The fruit.
I think I have. What is pawpaw?
Okay. Are you from around here originally?
Yeah.
Okay, I
Albanian.
Am too. Okay, so I never heard of these, and I think Rick Orlando or somebody brought up pawpaws, or Fred Breglia from the gardening show. I had never heard of them. Fred brought one in one time. It kind of tastes like a banana. Mm. Apparently, they are native to this region.
Who knew? You don't see it in the grocery store.
No. Pawpaw. I guess they don't travel well.
Oh, yeah. Are they soft? Do they look like a mango?
I think in a way. I don't know what the actual fruit looks like. Okay. I think he brought pieces in. But it kind of had a consistency of perhaps banana slash mango.
Okay, that's what
it
sounds.
But it was very tasty.
Ah. Yeah, so, you could probably make a curd out of that, like a nice curd for a custard, instead of lemon meringue pie, a pawpaw meringue pie. You easily could do that, or a sorbet. That sounds amazing.
So service berries, I have never...
Never heard of a service
berry. I've heard of them, but I don't think I've ever had them. This is from Mary in Chicago already. Hello, Mary. Y'all probably don't remember the chocolate brownie cookie from Pepperidge Farm. Yes, I do. And I remember the hermit cookies. The company stopped making so many of their really great cookies, and this was probably one of the first to go. Before they stopped making it, they had also changed the recipe. I've been trying to recreate it with no success. I guess it might be close to a Mexican wedding cookie, but less short at a drop cookie. Closest I got was a chocolate shortbread, but again, that original cookie was between a drop cookie and a shortbread. It was not chewy like a brownie. This was before the fad of huge, squishy cookies, like circa 1970. My latest idea is to use a shortening instead of butter and perhaps some rice flour. Talking about creating a basic, very short chocolate cookie that is not a shortbread. Do you know a cookie that uses shortening but doesn't have that bland, oily texture that can render? I'm thinking palm oil might work. Any thoughts?
I don't like palm oil. I do not like shortening. I don't like the flavor because it's just, and it's just completely saturated fat. Butter, at least, is saturated.
But shortening
but it tastes
works great,
good.
Though, right?
Shortening has a higher melting point, so it doesn't melt as easily. So if she wants to keep her cookies in, like, in a one, in a, you know, in a shape that doesn't ooze out
yeah.
and melt down, shortening is the way to go. She could also go half and half. Half shortening, half butter. Get flavor of butter. There are also butter-flavored shortenings.
Yeah, interesting. And then her PS here was, my last attempt was more or less a chocolate chip-type chocolate. Good, but it came out too flat.
Because it spread out too much because she probably used more butter than shortening.
Shortening will make it kind of a
and
big lumpy.
No, shortening will not spread out. But if she chills her dough, they won't spread out as much. So chill it or freeze it for a little while before and then use an ice cream scoop and they will not flatten out.
Interesting. Well, Chef Gail Sokol, we've got a few minutes left here. What's coming up on the podcast? What are you working on with your daughter on this?
Oh, my gosh. The podcast, I have been so busy with my videos.
Okay, the videos.
The videos, we are looking at all different things from s'more. I was going to make a s'more chocolate chip cookie, and I know you love this. I was going to use my blowtorch to blowtorch the little bits of marshmallow on top of the cookie because you can't put them on the cookie before it goes
they
in the oven.
In.
They'll melt in.
Yeah.
So you have to put them on after they come out of the oven. Now, I did that with a chocolate chip peanut butter cookie. That was amazing. Peanut butter cup. So you take peanut butter cups and quarter them. And the minute these, and they were gigunda. They were as big as your head. You put
that is big.
That's very big. You put the peanut butter chunk, you know, the peanut butter cup chunks on
yeah.
top. It was awesome.
That's genius.
Awesome. And you could make a chipwich out of that. You could put a thing of ice cream on top. What a dessert. And it's so simple. It's just a cookie.
So this will be on your videos.
It's already on my videos.
Really? Well,
yes.
What's coming up on your video production schedule?
The pink champagne cupcakes with a creamy whipped cream raspberry filling. I'm going to hollow those out and fill those with whipped cream and raspberry preserves and then put a beautiful pink champagne buttercream on top. Like a rosette of that. Make it pretty.
When are you going to do that?
I'm doing it this weekend. But it's not going out for a few weeks.
It has to be post-production and
it
everything
else. It has to
else.
Be post-production. Yeah. And the other thing I've done is I have a tip coming up. I also do tips because some people don't know how to, you know, the angles of certain things to sort of quicken things up. And I've been teaching for so long that you want to get a cheesecake out a little faster.
Yeah.
Put it in a bowl of ice water. But you have to line it with aluminum foil first so you don't get any leakage into the springform pan. And just let it sit in more ice than water and let it sit and cool down fast. That's how you can get your cheesecake out fast.
Even a Bosque cheesecake?
Even a Bosque cheesecake.
By the way, Rich writes in, service berries are also known as June berries. Does that ring a bell?
Oh, okay. Okay.
They're shrubs and small trees in the genus Amelanchier. Okay, there you are.
Okay.
Okay, well, there you are. So you've made Juneberries pies and such, right?
Of course.
You have not.
I have not.
I can tell when you're lying.
I have never. I do not lie. I tell white lies sometimes.
Yeah, well,
I have never seen, if I had seen them, I would have baked with them.
Well, this is June,
this
so
is
Amy
June.
Was probably
I
right.
I will look. Okay. I will look at farmers markets.
Well, this was a lot of fun. Gail Sokol, your website is once again, what is it?
ChefGailSokol.com, and you can go to my YouTube channel, which is just Chef Gail Sokol on YouTube.
And I should say that our website, the page for today's program, has the recipe for the chiffon cake, and it also has a video, which will take you to Chef Gail's YouTube channel. Is it YouTube?
Yes.
Yeah, YouTube page.
YouTube channel.
And you can go to the website as well. There's a link. Beautiful job. Have a great...
Thank you.
We'll be seeing you soon.
Absolutely.
Support comes from Honest Weight Food Co-op, announcing it is garden season, offering organic seed, soil, locally grown starter plants, flowers, and more. Open daily, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. online at honestweight.coop. And Saratoga Restaurant Equipment Sales, 27 years supplying restaurants at commercial kitchen facilities. Also offering project design, installation, and repair services, SaratogaSales.com.
and Brewster Farmers Market, 997 Route 22 Brewster. Now open Saturdays for summer with fresh seasonal fruits and vegetables, large selection of breads and pastries from La Lima's Bakery at Moore, hours 8 to 2. Thanks again to Chef Gail Sokol for being with us. You can check out that video right at our website, wamc.org. You'll see today's Vox Pop page. And that's a good spot to make a pledge for the Lockbox, which is still open all weekend. Our fund drive begins Monday at 6 a.m. Everything we raise counts at the very first minute of this drive. And we're already a quarter of the way there. So feel free to make your pledge. And we'll see you Monday at 6 a.m. Thanks to Zach Malloy, our engineer. Barb King screened the calls. I'm Ray Graff. Have yourself a splendid weekend. We'll see you bright and early Monday.